John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I want to read from verse 51. 1. Following the feeding of the 5,000, besides the men, the children and women. And then, of course, you remember the Lord was to send his disciples across on the boat to the other side. There was a storm in the midst of that. And how the Lord came walking on the water to them in the midst of the storm and said, "Peace be unto you." And they were delighted, of course, when the Savior came into the boat. And we read that then, suddenly, that they were at the other side. And it was amazed. The people amazed because they knew that the Savior hadn't went with the disciples. And they wondered when they got to the other side, "How did you get here?" And of course, it does but confirm the miracle of how he got across the lake, even to the region of Capernaum. And now we come to that same place, as you know, from verse 59, we'll read it. It's a teaching of Christ in Capernaum, in the synagogue. So that's the setting. Verse 51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever. These things said he in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, This is an hard saying, who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Just ending there, the words of verse 69. Few passages have been as much maligned and misunderstood as the one that is before us in this chapter. In particular, these are verses that have to deal with eating and drinking. We've read those words time without number there in the short number of verses. But the Savior never meant these words to be taken in a literal sense. And those who are non-reformed, the Roman Catholic Church, for example, they get in here and this is them happy with the feast of the Mass, taking the wafer and saying this is the very body of Christ and the wine, the very blood of Christ. And they come into this here and they say that this is the Lord's Supper. Well, of course, we've read what the Savior said. He said in verse 63, it's the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. He's not talking about in the literal sense of eating the flesh of Christ or the drinking of blood. That would be against actually the teaching of the Jews. And so that is the first thing that you need to understand. This chapter is not some teaching on the Lord's Supper. It bears no relevance whatsoever to it. But I want us to look at some of the thoughts that maybe stand out that the Savior was teaching on this occasion. I want you to first of all look with me at a word study. And the word study is with the word eateth. You look at the words of verse 54. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The previous verse, makes it clear, of course, that where there's no eating and where there's no drinking, then there's no life. You see that? Verse 53, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you." That's true in the physical sense. We don't eat, and if we don't drink, we die. We have no life. And the Savior's bringing it into the spiritual context. And he's saying, except ye eat, except ye drink, ye have no life in you. And, of course, now in verse 54, conversely, it's saying the very other thing, that where there is eating and where there is drinking, there is life. "Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Everyone who feeds their soul on the atoning sacrifice of Christ for sin on the cross hath eternal everlasting, hath eternal life. It's not something that's promised in some time to come in the future, but rather you'll notice the tense is, it's a present reality. It's a present blessing. He hath eternal life. And so men and women, you and I tonight, we can get ourselves into this verse. Because we've eaten of Christ, we've drunken of Christ, if you like. We have rested our souls on the atoning work of the cross. That's what this is all about. And having done so, the Lord says that whoso eateth and drinketh hath eternal life. We have eternal life now. And the Roman Catholic can't understand that. They can't understand when they say to, you say to them, you know, if I die now, I'm going to heaven. They don't understand that because they have no assurance of it. They have no peace. They haven't tasted and seen that the Lord is good. You look at the words of verse 56, you see the same word, "He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him." Now, the thing is this, that word that's used in verse 54 and verse 56 is different from the one in verse 53. "Except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man," is different. In verses 54 and 56, the word used there denotes the eating of an animal, as opposed to the eating of a person, a man. And the sense seems to be this, that the word is purposely used, and the Savior used this word purposely. And he did so to show what he meant. And what he meant is that the people, his people, who are eating and drinking of him, of course, in the context of the cross, in the atoning work of the cross, his people are to be continually feeding on him all day long by faith. You see, that's not how man eats. Well, most of us anyway. We usually sit down three times a day. But the brute beast in the field eats all the time. Most of the time. Even maybe through the hours of the night as well. And so you see the difference here. That's why he used that word that brings you into the context of the animal. For he says, "He that eateth my flesh," continuously. Feeding continually upon the Savior by faith. And that's what we are to be doing. The Lord is reminding us we're not to be feeding on him occasionally. I have no doubt. No doubt. Somewhere people sit in the house of God on a Sunday and they don't open the scriptures to the next Sunday. That's a reality. But the Lord's reminding us we are to feed continually. Did you feed continually on the Lord today? Had you any thought about the cross? It's a challenge, isn't it? And that's the sense of that word. The only other times in which that word is used is you'll find it in verse 57 and you'll find it in verse 58. And then if you turn over to Matthew chapter 24, you'll find it here. The words are verse 38. The Lord is teaching here about his coming. Verse 36, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And he uses the example of Noah's day. It's going to be like the day when the Lord returns. What was that day like? Verse 38, for as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. One of the prominent things in those days was just those eating and drinking continually. And so it will be in the time when the Lord comes back. There will be men and women just taken up with feeding the flesh, satisfying the flesh, the belly. And that's a word that is used there. And then the other one you'll find in John 13. The only times that this word Edith is found in the New Testament in the Scriptures. John chapter 13, verse 18. Speaking to his disciples, I speak not of you all, I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. And there was Judas, he was continually in the presence of Christ. One of the disciples, continually listening to his teaching. We might say, continually feeding upon him. And yet the Lord uses that word to describe him. He was the one that would lift up this heel against the very Christ of God. And so, men and women, there's a word that is worthy of notice. The same persons who are given to Christ by the Father, the same people who see Christ by faith and believe in him, the same who are drawn unto him, who feed upon him, they will have their part in that glorious resurrection when Christ shall call his people from the dead. He has said there in verse 54, he said, I will raise them up at the last day. I will raise them up at the last day. And this word study underlines that which is in view here. Not the Lord's Supper, but the moment a soul receives Christ by faith and trusts in his work of atonement. That's what's in view. In Christ we live. You see the words of verse 57? You'll notice there's three living persons in that verse. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. There's two of them. There's the Father, there's the Son. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. What's the third one? The believer. That's the third one. The believer is one who's alive and feeding on Christ. Tell me, have you been feeding on the Savior today? This chapter is not Christ teaching on the Lord's Supper. Indeed, it is to counteract erroneous teaching on it. Just as chapter 3 of John is not about baptism, but is about a greater truth, that of the spiritual regeneration, of being born again. That's why he said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. Chapter 3 of John is not about baptism. Chapter 6 of John is not about what we've been considering. It's not about the Lord's Supper. It's about the cross. And you see, if you take those two things together, those are the true truths that are in danger of being forgotten. Spiritual regeneration, being born again, and even what he's teaching here, the faith that is needed in the work of atonement. And those two themes are what John emphasizes throughout his gospel. People today, and they'll be taken up with baptism, and they'll be taken up with some other thing of the church, and yet they don't spend much time considering the atoning work of Christ. Or they don't think much time about considering the new birth. And yet those are the two truths that John brings out. Let me also bring you to a thought here about a walk that is stopped. Verse 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. We've looked at a word study. Now look at a walk that has stopped. The Savior's teaching on this eating and on this drinking of his flesh and blood, it wasn't accepted by all. While the true grace of God is an everlasting possession, and while that is something from which we can never fall away. In other words, if you're saved tonight, we're in the prayer meeting. God has done that work in our heart. You can never fall away from God's grace. But you know, men and women, there's such a thing as counterfeit grace. There's such a thing as counterfeit religion. And countless fall away from that. And you'll notice here in verse 66, there was many disciples. From that time, many of his disciples. There's many that followed. There's many that professed to be his disciples. And they profess to be following the Savior. But we see that they weren't really believing disciples. Because many went back. They went back. They were never saved. They went back. And the word there, little phrase, went back, it means to retreat. It means to desert. Desertion, it really brings us into the setting of the army. The army retreats sometimes. Or it will desert. And the court-martialed of the soldier deserts the army in time of battle. It means forsaking a position that was once occupied. And that's what many of them did. They forsook the Lord. They retreated. They deserted him. They went back. You turn over to John 18. Verse 6, because there I'll give you a verse where the word is also used. John 18 brings us into the Garden of Gethsemane. That time where Judas was to lead the soldiers to Christ. Verse 5, they answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. That's who they were looking for. Jesus said unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Can you picture that in your mind's eye? The Lord asked these soldiers in the midst of the evening time, whom do you seek? And they sought Jesus of Nazareth. And as soon as he said, I am he, and you'll notice he is in the italics, so you can take it out, really. It's only to give the continuity in the verse. He just said, I am. As soon as he said that, they fell backward. You see, they couldn't stand before the great I am. They couldn't stand before the God-man. They fell backward to the ground. And that teaches us, men and women, that if the Lord wanted to confound those soldiers, if the Lord wanted to put them in confusion and to escape that setting, he could very well have done so. But you see, he gave himself to go to the cross. They went backward, they fell to the ground. And so it was with these that we've been looking at in verse 66 of John 6. They walked no more. They were no longer in his company. But they returned to their homes. Maybe they were among the number. In verse 15 of this same chapter, we read that. It says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into the mountain himself alone. They may have been among that number. We're going to make the Savior a king. We think that much about him. You see, the Lord hadn't come the first time to be set up as a king. He's coming back as king. And you know, it just reminds us also, doesn't it, of the fickleness of men and how fickle they really are. Popular today, gone tomorrow. We'll make you a king. That was yesterday. Today, they walk no more with him. They went back. They went back. The question asked, why the Savior in the following verse was to prove his chosen followers. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? There's men and women in our church that are backslidden tonight. I'm not saying to you that the work of grace is never done in their heart. I'm saying that they're backslidden. And that is a possibility for any one of us to go back. And the Lord would come afresh to our hearts and say, will you also go away? Maybe like others have done so. The literal rendering of that there is have ye a will to go away? And I want to underline to your thought, men and women, that the Lord knew their hearts. He wasn't asking this question to find out if one or two of them would. He knew their hearts. You know how we know that? You look at verse 64. But there were some of you that believed not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. He knew all about them. He is God. He's the omniscient God. He knew about those in verse 66 that would go away, that would turn back. He also knew about the one who would betray him. He knew about Judas. And you know what patience that was that Christ exercised towards Judas? In that he was there that whole time during the earthly ministry of the Savior, and yet the Lord knew all the time what Judas would do. What pain that must have caused to the heart of Christ. But here's one that looks like the other disciples, that's doing the things of the other disciples, who is a trust by the other disciples, even to hold the treasury. And yet he knew what Judas would do. He knew that he would betray him. And he knew what the answer would be from these 12. But he asked the question to prove their faithfulness, to prove his chosen followers. And you'll notice, with this I close, the words of sincerity in verse 68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Lord, to what teacher else could we go to than to thee? To what other master could we go? Where would we find anyone like you? What's the sense here? It's not surprising that Peter steps forward. Peter is the boisterous one in times. And it was Peter, you remember, in the boat that asked the Lord, if thou be Christ, bid me to walk in the water. He's impetuous. And he steps forward and he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? And men and women, to whom else can we follow? You look at the world and the world's in a mess and confusion and all the rest of it. Why would we want to follow the world when we have Christ, our Savior, our sanctifier, our sovereign, as we've been singing about? And his words that he spoke, Peter said, thou hast the words of eternal life. The words that he failed from his lips were those of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. You see the wee word we there? It's emphatic. Lord, we believe. We're absolutely convinced. We're absolutely sure thou art the Christ. That's Peter's confession. And you know that would be the confession of our heart tonight, surely. To whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. I trust the Lord will bless even those few thoughts to your souls tonight. Just a little working our way down through some of those verses, some of the great truths that the Lord was to teach them in the synagogue in Capernaum.